from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold. This is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. Thank you for listening. We really do appreciate it. Thank you for all the new iTunes reviews that we've been getting and for your feedback on Twitter as well. My name is Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com. My co-host Ryan is actually on vacation in Hawaii right now, so it is just going to be me, but we're just going to be covering the news real quick because we did pre-record this great interview with Matt Waldman that is going to be about Patrick Mahomes and how he fit the NFL and you know, what do rookie QBs go through and what did he learn from Alex Smith? A lot of great information here about Patrick Mahomes and about rookie QBs in general. So be sure to listen to the full thing. It is going to be today and tomorrow. It's going to be a two-part episode. A little bit of news that we do have. Demetrius Harris is going to be suspended for the first game of the season this year for his marijuana possession and drug paraphernalia. So he will miss the first game of the season. Not a huge thing for Kansas City, but it is something to note. Kansas City has three players on the under 25 team. Your three players are Kareem Hunt, Chris Jones, and Tyreek Hill. That is very significant. They are the only team in the AFC West that have three players on the team. The rest of the division only has two players total, and that is the Los Angeles Chargers. So that is a great thing from a talent standpoint for the Chiefs at this point. You know, obviously, that could change with Patrick Mahomes this offseason. We will have to see how that goes and how that plays out. One other item of note, we will not have a show on Memorial Day this coming Monday. We will be back on Tuesday with talking with Matt Derrick about OTAs, which are going on right now and are not open to the public. And here is the interview with Matt.
And we've been teasing it for a little while, and we are really, really lucky. We haven't talked to him in about a year, but Matt Waldman decided to come back with us because, you know, I harassed him enough to do it. So, Matt, thanks for being with us.
Oh, man, it's always my pleasure. I'm glad I got a chance to join you guys again because it's, you know, it's an exciting time for Kansas City.
Well, and you mentioned it's an exciting time for Kansas City, and the biggest reason it's exciting for them is because of Patrick Mahomes. They're finally going to have a young QB that is definitely got the pedigree and probably the best arm that I've seen in a Chiefs uniform that I can ever think of at this point.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And he might have the best arm in the league. I mean, it's really on that level. It's that special of a talent. And we've seen that flashed a little bit. I know that it was funny. I got word from somebody who, you know, who's connected to a college program down south who was at the combine and talked to some Chiefs scouts, and they were talking a little bit about Mahomes and talking about how that they looked forward to basically every Friday they would, after they got finished through some of the work they were doing for the upcoming week's game, they would sneak in some time to watch Mahomes in practice because he was that good and that much fun to watch. And it seems to be kind of the consensus feeling is the giddiness that the team has with, you know, what's to come with Patrick Mahomes.
Well, as you talk about the giddiness that the team has and the giddiness that the fan base has, I understand that that is leading to some probably unrealistic expectations from Chiefs fans. But I think the more important thing really is that you have a team that is that giddy about a player that they selected, and they still sat him almost the entire year.
Yeah, and I think it's a great thing that they did, because I think that the problem that we're going to have over the next 2 to 3 years, and it's probably going to hit Chief fans the hardest, is that there's going to be a faction of Chiefs fans who are still thinking about the old days of quarterback development that's been going on over the past 15, 20 years, which is, you know, stick the guy in there early if he's good enough to play. And if he learns how to swim, great. If he drowns, oh, well, let's find the next guy. You know, the John Wayne School of Swimming for Boys approach to quarterback development, which hasn't really worked all that well, and which is why we hear some people still think that there's a dearth of quarterback talent available, when you think that, well, the college game has really been preparing, hasn't been preparing players for the NFL, because that's not their job. Their job is to make money. You know, in terms for the end, you know, for those college programs, you know, they're to sell tickets, to be able to get championships, to recruit more players. And that means getting these guys available and ready to play for college football as fast as possible, not develop them for the NFL, even though they may say, you know, for recruiting purposes, say, hey, look, we've sent this many players to the league. So when you look at it from that perspective, you know, there's going to be a faction that looks at this and says, a guy like Patrick Mahomes, you know, didn't play the entire year. That's not a good sign. But then there's another faction you'd say, well, look, you know, less than 50% of these quarterbacks drafted in the first round never hit. And some of that should be a good portion of that should be on the onus of the NFL and the fact that they need to be more patient about letting these guys develop. Because as we've seen with a guy like Jared Goff or even Kirk Cousins, you know, Goff was a first round pick. Cousins was a fourth round pick. If you give them a surrounding amount of surrounding talent, like an offensive line, and you give them time to learn a little bit about the game, they can thrive. And it took Cousins a few years, really, of intermittent play. And that's very similar to the intermittent play that Drew Brees got over the first couple of years of his career as a second-round pick. And that was by design for Cousins. It was more by accident because of the way that the Washington Redskins used Robert Griffin and how Griffin broke down and they had to insert Cousins in games and he failed. But instead of him getting into quicksand and forming bad habits that became ingrained into his nature because he had to be in there while he was still screwing up, that he could be benched and have a couple of weeks to kind of reassess, continue to learn, and then not have the pressure of trying to win a game, you know, and then have these bad situations happen and you fall into that quicksand all over again and you form bad habits. And I think that Brees was a guy who said, you know, I got taken out. I was told I was still the guy. No one threw me under the bus like the Browns did to Sean Kizer last year, where they rated him as like, oh, he's going to be our franchise quarterback. And then by the end of the year, they're like, we don't think he's going to be anything for us, and they trade him, you know, and don't even have a quarterback, veteran quarterbacks in the room to work with him. So in this case, Mahomes got a really good situation early, which is to have that time off to really kind of learn concepts of the West Coast offense, where, you know, the air raid has similarities to the West Coast, but it's a distilled version of it. So he can learn a little bit more. He could focus on some, you know, fundamentals that will help him and just kind of get comfortable with that acclimation of going from being a college student to a professional, you know, football player. And there is some differences there. And then this, you know, there's going to be a faction that when he gets on the field, they're going to expect him to be perfect because he, you know, all the excitement, and they're going to want to look at players who look like Ben Roethlisberger or Russell Wilson in his first year, or anybody who started off well as a rookie, and make these types of comps, when really he's probably going to be reckless. We've seen him, you know, that's part of his game. He plays with an aggressive edge. And so it's likely that he'll throw a lot of boneheaded interceptions, trying to do things that fans on the front end of it will look at it and go, why did he even try that? That was just stupid. You know, he was staring right at this. How could he think that he could make that kind of play? But, you know, in the long run, that's also about a player of his style trying to learn his boundaries of what he can and can't get away with, because he has the type of arm to make throws that few people would really expect a quarterback to make, and he'll make a lot of them. He just has to learn where those boundaries are, and it's going to happen during this year and maybe a little bit next year as well. So there's going to be some people who misunderstand development and think, well, he had a year to develop and now he's struggling at times this year. He's not all that. And there's going to be other people that are going to say, give him more time. let him, you know, this is just a second step in that process. I happen to believe it's a second step in the process. You're going to see moments of greatness with Patrick Mahomes. You're going to see moments of things you've never seen before that for some fans are going to be, it's going to scare the pee out of them. And then for the other, you know, part of fans, it's going to be like as thrilling as possible. And depending on your, you know, your kind of frame of reference with what you think quarterbacking should be about, some of them will realize that he's, you know, that he's capable of winning on these types of risks if he just learns to mature a little bit, and others will want him to eliminate it totally. I'm more in the school of Andy Reid, Coach Brett Favre. He knows what Brett Favre was. He knows what Brett Favre could be. And I think that he's going to see that he's got a similar type of player in Patrick Mahomes, a creative, intuitive football player who can make plays that few can. And like Russell Wilson, they both have kind of that point guard mentality to make throws on the move and on the run and see things downfield where they look more like, you know, Magic Johnson in the, you know, in full court, you know, mode when he's running down there and making some passes that you're thinking this belongs more on the hardwood than it does on the gridiron.
Well, that's a good spot. Let's take a quick second and we'll come back.
I was just going to say, when you look at what, and you said specifically where I would go with this, he is going to be a guy that has to learn by playing. There's only so much you can learn on the bench, but the nice thing about him having that opportunity is he learned from a consummate professional, in my opinion, and Alex Smith, who showed him all the intricacies of being an NFL QB that you don't have to necessarily get from being and playing on the field.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, quarterback is the ultimate performance. You know, it's a performance craft. And, you know, you can I relate it often to music a lot as a former musician. And I'm sure Ryan appreciated someone who obviously is into music and is that really when you get up on stage, it's a different animal than playing in practice, you know, and it relates to another thing that a lot of fans misunderstand about practice. They go, oh, well, when you get into an NFL game, they're going to coach you up and you're going to learn the things that you don't know in college and you're going to get better at this. Well, you know, if you've ever played in music in high school, even or elementary school, even, and you went to band or your kids in band, you know, if you ever gone to one of their band practices and you can get past, you know, all the squeaking notes and the out of tune playing and all that kind of stuff that kids do, you'll see, you know, the first 10 to 15 minutes of that practice, they'll play scales. They'll play one note and try and play it in tune. They'll do things that are very fundamental oriented. And then they'll go on to focusing the, you know, 80% of the hour on the song that they're going to play for the performance that they're going to have coming up, you know, and most of the time is spent on that. Well, the NFL is very similar to that. Football practice in general is that way. They, you know, the fundamentals that are taught for the first, you know, 5 to 10% of practice, if you're going to get better at those fundamentals, it isn't going to happen in the practice. It's going to happen before practice, after practice, doing those same drills on your own or doing it, you know, on your own time for hours a day, you know, maybe not hours a day, but hours a week and devoting, creating your own program and using some of that or building on it with different things. So with Mahomes, he's getting to learn from a guy like Smith, you know, obviously by example, and Smith's the perfect opposite of Mahomes because it took Smith forever to show the confidence to let the ball loose when he saw things that he was supposed to react to. You know, it's in, and it's kind of like that timing of music performance. You got to play in rhythm. And when you're acting or playing music, when you're on stage, if you look wooden, it's because you're overthinking something. You see, you know, the stimuli in front of you for you to react and sound natural or look natural. If you react to it a split second late, then you're off rhythm. And then things kind of fall apart. And that's what happens with quarterbacking when you're looking at the leverage of a safety or a linebacker and you're tapping your foot or hopping one more step longer than you should. And Smith was frequently guilty of that in the intermediate and deep game. And when he had troubles, it was usually in key situations where he didn't quite trust what he saw or he wasn't willing to throw the ball downfield. And he got better over the past couple of years as a deep thrower, but he was one of those guys that had to work hard at trusting what he saw. Mahomes is the exact opposite. Mahomes sees that moment and he's going to throw it because he's confident, even if it means that he knows he might brush that ball over the outstretched fingertip of a linebacker who's in his face. He's willing to do that because he sees that possibility and will act on it right away. The problem with that, of course, is when he does miss, because he's willing to make that tight window type of throw. And so sometimes it's going to look really bad in the opposite range of that spectrum. But the nice thing is that, you know, between Smith, who he can see the paint by numbers way of quarterbacking, how to do that. You know, he sees how basically by the book, a quarterback should do things. But he has a coach in Andy Reid who doesn't care about the book. He cares about, about him following the book step by step. He wants Mahomes to write his own book, and he's just giving him the structure to say, to basically give him the boundaries that need to be so that he doesn't veer too far off course. And the book may look a lot different than what Smith's does, but it may be a more enjoyable read. So it's kind of it's one of those things that you kind of have to understand is that Andy Reid isn't one of those guys to say, oh, your arm looks like this and your mechanics are too bad like that. It's more about, are you reading the coverage right? Are you identifying the smallest detail on where a defender is and that you're reacting to that quickly? And it's so much harder to get a quarterback who sees that little thing and immediately the ball comes out. I mean, that's hard. And NFL personnel people and some coaches and a lot of owners, they have this, you can tell the way they draft, that they have this kind of assumption that, oh, experience will help them learn that. Well, how long was Alex Smith in the league until he started to learn that? And how effective was Alex Smith in the league until he really started to learn that? I mean, you guys probably have pleasant associations with Smith towards the end because of how he's at least played lately in the past couple of years. But, I mean, San Francisco 49ers fans probably are like, he never learned it while he was with us, because he had to go through multiple systems and multiple schemes. And
that was the big key there, is he went through so many different multiple schemes and systems and coaches and offensive coordinators. You cannot have that kind of structure and expect a young QB to succeed in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. So, I mean, there's so many factors with this.
Well, let's come back in a second, and we'll talk about what it means for them to get that quarterback.
And the Chiefs, in my opinion, I was so excited when they got when they drafted him, because I knew, just as a fan and an analyst who had seen, been around during the Brett Favre era and Andy Reid and what Andy Reid's history is about with guys like McNabb and Favre and what that meant. Because Reid wasn't one of those guys who's like, well, I read this coaching book on how to coach quarterbacks, and this is what the book says, so in order for me to look like I know what I'm talking about, because I was an OL type of guy, that I need to like remind this guy who probably knows more than I do about throwing a darn football about what little ticky-tack mistakes he made with his form, and just get into his head about overthinking about things that derail him from the bigger picture. And, there's a point where, if your coaching staff or your scouts or people who actually really understand quarterbacking mechanics say, look, it's not pretty, but it's not something that's going to affect how he plays on 99% of the throws he makes. Let it go. that needs to happen more often. I hear this from quarterback coaches, two pros and two college players, that, people want to follow Tom Brady's mechanics to the letter, but those mechanics work well for Brady because Brady's biomechanics himself fit well with him, and then he's had some things tweaked. But it doesn't mean that you should be teaching every kid to come out and look like a cookie cutter Tom Brady, because some of them don't have the body type to be able to throw mechanically like that. There are, your footwork can be more important than your arm motion in certain respects. But when it comes to Mahomes, the biggest thing with him is that he has that coach who's basically about, how do we get you upgraded to the mental side of the game? Because what I see in you is that I know that you're not going to hesitate. And if you start hesitating, that's probably when I'm going to bench you, because I don't want you to turn into this neurotic quarterback that most of these quarterbacks turn into when they've come in and they have to overthink everything. And then you got to get them to loosen up and you've seen stiff performers on stage and they look like, you know, their eyes get wide, they talk robotically, and they look like a deer in headlights when the big lights come on, you know, and a lot of quarterbacks play that way.
And you could argue that Alex Smith played that way in the playoff losses, and that's part of the reason that Kansas City made the move to go get a QB like Mahomes.
And that's exactly right. And you know what else, guys? I think that's a good place for us to stop. Folks, we're going to take a break here today. We'll be back tomorrow. We have a lot more to talk about, including confidence and where to go, and a lot more on Patrick Mahomes with Matt Waldman. So check back with us tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.